Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for a new way to talk. Here's Medal of Honor recipient David
Bellavia.
No. That's not it.
David Bellavia.
That's not how you pronounce it.
Staff Sergeant David Bellavia.
Really? That's how you're going to pronounce it?
David Bellavia.
Ah, come on.
David Bellavia.
It's David Bellavia on WBEN.
And welcome to the program. This is a very chilly, chilly morning in Western New York. I love it. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
It's almost football weather.
That is the voice of Tony Caligiuri. And Jim Stigliano would be speaking if he had the power of speech. But he's over there.
We cut his vocal
cords. You know, it's such a shame because he has such an amazing personality. And I think we almost need to build up the Jim Stigliano voice when he finally does speak publicly. It needs to be an event. We should get a sponsor for it. Hearing Evaluation Services of Buffalo, Tony. We get HES.
Exactly.
We get HES. Tony and I will both tag team that segment when we do it. At any rate, Jim Stigliano has not spoken in almost a year.
We'll change that right now.
Are we going to do it?
Yeah, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Stigliano.
Here I am.
That's enough.
Did anyone expect him to sound
wow.
like that? Nobody knew what his voice was like. Hello, my name is Jim. No, Jim Stigliano. There he is.
You shamed him long enough.
Well, it's enough. Enough's enough. You know, we need to hear your voice.
Well, once we got this gold microphone plugged in,
golden microphone.
Oh, now he's Rush.
Yeah, the gold microphone.
The EIB.
EIB. There's Jim. Now turn his mic off. We're good for another 6 months. No, thank you, Jim, for finally doing that. We appreciate you. Tony Caligiuri, as always. It is a very chilly, crisp morning. I got to tell you, though, this weather is all I live for. If this weather didn't exist, there'd be no reason to live in Western New York. I love that crisp 60-degree fall. It makes you want coffee. It makes you want to throw a football around.
Yeah, let's go play catch.
This is the type of weather you want to be. When you're in the parking lot at the Highmark Stadium, how many changes can you call a stadium? Do we have the record here? We got between Pilot Field and Rich Stadium.
You know what? I just give up. I lost track. It'll always be Rich Stadium, and the other one would be the Odd. I don't care if it's a new building. It'll still be the Odd.
And what do you call the baseball park?
The baseball park.
You don't
Jimmy
call
Griffin
Pilot
Stadium.
Coca-Cola.
Pilot
Salen.
Field.
So there's been what? Pilot Field, Coca-Cola Field, Salen Field.
Yeah, I think there was another one, right?
And then it started Marine Midland Arena.
North America.
And then what?
North America Park. So that was Bison's.
Okay, but the arena was Marine Midland to start.
Right.
And then it went to HSBC.
First Niagara,
that's it.
And then now it's what?
Key Bank.
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
So confused. And now Highmark, I believe, is for the legalization of marijuana. Is that where we're...
I'll take your word for it.
No. It's a different medical company. So you've got Highmark Stadium, formerly whatever. The point is, we change the stadiums a lot. And all you have to do is buy old versions of Madden Football and know what the stadium was called and what year.
I have to find my commemorative coin from the very first game at Rich Stadium. My dad took me to the Washington Redskins-Bills preseason game. And it was the very first game played there. The Redskins took the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. We missed it because we were stuck in traffic. But I do have the commemorative coin from that game somewhere.
Oh, someone said it was Dunn Tire Park.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And then they said Crossroads is what the arena was called. Crossroads Arena. That's right. This is why we have a text board. Thank you, texters. You're absolutely right. You know, one of the things, if there was a Bills-Patriots game, 1980, 1981, where the Bills won with like a last-second Hail Mary.
To Roland Hooks.
Yeah! And that's very good. My father went to that game, and we were in our car driving away as that play happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, at that point, that was a comeback. There was no, you know what I'm saying? That was the Joe Ferguson years. And so you miss those moments. You know, like every person's going to lie to you and say they were at the game, Houston Oilers and the comeback. And
well,
they
were I was.
There. But how many people actually were in the stands? I could tell you the number just looking at the video.
Well, I left and got back in.
But I'm saying that the actual people that first
Well, if you go on Facebook, there was, you know, 120,000 people.
There's 120,000 people there. They all stayed. And then the stories of, you know, people crawling over the gates and coming
back. That was me.
You know, but.
But they didn't let us complete the climb. The guy says, all right, guys, come down. He opened up the gate so we can go in.
But it was it the interception return at the beginning of the second half that you said?
That's when I left. When Frank Reich threw that interception, I said, sayonara, I'm going to cook some hot dogs.
It was a pick six.
Yeah.
And it was, what, 35-3?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when everyone in Western New York left that game. That was allegedly there.
And that wasn't on TV because that wasn't sold out.
It was blacked out. Right. And the 1.2 million people there in attendance that day. Unbelievable. Everyone tells that story. The other one, too, is the May Day goal. Everyone claims they were at the May Day goal.
I was not there.
No one was there. I mean, there was literally 17,000 people there, maybe. But there's the amount of people that witnessed that are monumental. There's things in Buffalo that have happened in our sports, you know, history. That the big moments, right? The comeback, the Sabres was okay. The no goal was in Buffalo, wasn't it?
Yes.
When the Stars won the Cup, they won it in Buffalo.
Right.
And that's another one that everyone was at.
Another one, too, was the hit on Keith Lincoln by Mike Stratton. You know, the old timers all went there. So War Memorial probably, the Rock Pile probably had, you know, couple hundred thousand that day.
That is one of those things where even though it was 1965,
yeah.
That hit today is still, it's clean. There's nothing illegal about that. Not using his head, totally with the shoulder, and it is vicious.
I told you that's the game. My father took my grandfather. It was his first football game. He never wanted to go to a game again after that. He was so shaken up by that hit. And what many people don't remember is Keith Lincoln wound up playing for the Bills years later.
With a limp.
Well, yeah. He wasn't quite the same.
He had hip dysplasia after
Mike Stratton straightened him out.
Oh, that was a rough one.
Yeah.
That was pretty rough. But anyway, there's things in Buffalo, though, that people will just, you know, they're iconic moments that everyone has to claim. But, you know, now with TV.
Oh, and everybody was an extra for the natural.
That's so true. That is so true. I met four people that were the catcher behind Robert Redford. Excellent point. Everyone was on the set for the natural.
Yep.
That was filmed at War Memorial.
And behind Bennett High School at All High.
So the scene where the lights are blowing up?
I think they used All High as Wrigley, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
If Kevin Lester from Williamsville South fame were here, he'd be able to tell us.
So, but everyone claims they were
there. Yeah,
everybody
was an extra in that movie.
Now, I almost became an extra in Jumanji.
Really?
I was in college my freshman year, and they were filming it in Keene, New Hampshire. And I went through all of the hoops to be an extra, not knowing anything. It was a Robin Williams movie. That's all we knew.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was half of it was CGI. I could have been a CGI rhino in a green suit running through a room. I mean, I didn't even know what the thing was. But we all waited in line. There was like 150 of us. And everyone in that group claims that's me. See me? There I am. No, you don't see anything.
Yeah, I'm that dot.
The whole movie is CGI. Like, you know, and horrible CGI today, too, but.
There's a movie that's going to be filmed in Buffalo. A buddy of mine showed me. I wish I could remember. But they're looking for Italian Americans to be extras in this, looking for Italian families to be a part of this movie that's going to be about Italians coming here. So that's kind of interesting. I said, I wish I could be in that, but I don't know if I have the time.
The text board's blowing up about, you know, like the game.
Bells, get you and me on that show. We're Italian.
Well.
And Jimmy.
I think one of the most underrated games of all time, that memory-wise, is that Rams. It was a Frank Wright game.
Monday Nighter, football. We came back from to beat the Rams. I was there.
That was a great game.
That's a game I could say.
It's a very underrated game as well. Do we have our guest from Catholic Charities? No?
No, not yet.
We're going to have Deacon Steve Schumer on, president and CEO of Catholic Charities. They're raising money every year trying to, I mean, they still meet the needs of Western New York. Pandemic or not, Catholic Charities is there for the region. Deacon Steve Schumer, how are you, sir? Let me get you on the phone there. Hey, how you doing, sir?
Phone on mute.
Are you there?
I am.
All right. Well, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I missed your call. I had the phone on mute, right?
You know, yeah, well, you know what? We have those technical difficulties. We're talking about all the things that, you know, iconic things that happen in Western New York, our memories, how everyone wants to be at the comeback game. One of the things that we have here in Western New York that I think a lot of people are grateful for is the organization, Catholic Charities, everything that you do for so many people out here. And the fact that, you know, just because the pandemic, everyone shut down, Catholic Charities was still serving Western New York.
Oh, my goodness. That's exactly true. In fact, last year we were in the middle of the annual appeal, and we even shifted our marketing messages to stop saying, please give, and instead to say, hi, we're here to help you. You may not know how, but here's a number of ways we can help you during this. And we've continued that same posture. So we're very proud of that, and we're blessed with the support of so many people across Western New York to help us continue to keep the beacon of hope burning brightly.
So Catholic Charities every year impacts almost 150,000 Western New Yorkers that are in need. And this is not just Catholics. This is all people in need. All walks of life, 150,000 people come to for help, and Catholic Charities is there to provide that service.
Yes, thank you, Tim. That's exactly the point. You know, culturally, 65% of Western New York identifies as Catholic, but the people we serve are from all walks of life. And, you know, we don't ask when people come to us, what's your faith tradition? We simply help. You know, from behavioral health, mental wellness, to our food pantries, to our workforce education programs, to resettling refugees who come through the United States Refugee Resettlement Program. So many different ways we're helping our neighbors.
Now, you know, people talk about mental health counseling, preventive education, all the different services, Catholic Charities. Every year you have a budget of the money that you need to operate. $10 million, you've raised $8.7 million, you're almost there to reach your goal. How can people in this audience go and support Catholic Charities?
Thank you for asking, Tim. Yes, we're still running a little behind in the appeal. People can call us here at the office and make a pledge. You don't have to pay the pledge until sometime later this year. We'll continue to send you a notice. Our phone number here is 218-1400. Again, 218-1400. Or we have our website set up so people who want to make a pledge or use their credit card can go to ccwny.org. I think Catholic Charities Western New York.org. And we're set up to do it that way as well.
It's Deacon Steve Schumer, with CEO and President of Catholic Charities. 218-1400 is the number that you can call to help support Catholic Charities, meeting the needs of almost 150,000 Western New Yorkers from all walks of life, so many different programs. They're very close to their goal, which, by the way, speaks volumes about Catholic Charities, that in this atmosphere, that people still not only acknowledge the impact that you make on the community, but they are supporting, they are giving, and it just speaks volumes about Catholic Charities.
And also speaks about the people of Western New York. You know, we're famous for pulling together to help one another, especially when we identify a need. You think about the news items over the last a couple of years. This is another good story about the generous people of Western New York who really want to help one another. The people we serve are our neighbors. So that's really the thing to keep in mind. And if people can help us reach the goal, we'd be so very blessed.
Well, listen, we're proud to have you as a neighbor and appreciate everything Catholic Charities does and continues to do. Go support Catholic Charities. That is Deacon Steve Schumer, President and CEO of Catholic Charities. 218-1400. Write that number down. Contribute whatever amount you possibly can and realize that that money is an investment into Western New York. 150,000 people, families, children, folks in needs. You don't have to be a Catholic. You don't, you know, this is every walk of life. That's what Catholic Charities, the arm of good, just going out there, loving people, putting them on the proper path, continuing them on the journey of health. Making sure that if, you know, the stigma of mental illness, where do people go? They don't want to be ostracized. Catholic Charities is out there eliminating that stigma, helping people, getting them back on the path to better our community, to better themselves.
Well said, Tim. I couldn't say it any better myself. God bless you for the support, and bless all the people who have supported us already and who will do so. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate that. It's Deacon Steve Schumer, President and CEO of Catholic Charities, and thank you very much for your time, sir. Appreciate that. Go and support Catholic Charities, 218-1400. I am Tim today. I don't know what just happened. He must have thought he was talking to Tim Wenger, but that's fine. Listen, God bless the Deacon Steve Schumer, President and CEO of Catholic Charities. I am David Bellavia, but
Bellavia.
You could call me whatever, Tom, Tim, whatever.
You just want. Don't call you late for dinner.
Whatever you want. So, but before we took that important and remind you, 218-1400, support Catholic Charities. Go to the website as well. Great organization, great people, and they're worthy of all that we can do for them. But before we spoke to the good deacon, they were bringing up the different things that you remember about the iconic games and the things that people want to say they were at. Someone texted in the Tim Walenda walk on the Niagara Falls. I don't think that's nearly as memorable as the walk over to Yeovil. I mean, can we be honest?
That was
no one's walking over to Yeovil. I don't think anyone has walked.
Nick Walenda at Yeovil.
But the walk over Niagara Falls was a huge, that was a pay-per-view event. People went nuts, right?
That was neat, especially being that I live in Niagara Falls, so it's kind of neat knowing that it was just, not too far from.
Did you go and see it?
No, I did not.
No, do people go to see that in hopes that he falls? Or do you do it just to, you know?
I think it was for the event. I think most people went for the event. I'm sure, you know, just the same way as people watch NASCAR thinking that there could be that wreck. But I'm sure there was somebody there thinking that, well, I would witness a fall.
Don't you think more people would go to see you walk over the falls?
Yeah, that would be pretty dangerous. It'd be a short trip because I'd fall immediately.
But there's a greater chance that you would fall.
Yeah, there was a greater chance.
I mean, Nick Walenda is a pro at this. This is what his whole family, I think he was raised on a tightrope, right? I mean, he was conceived and birthed on a tightrope. I mean, the whole family has been on it's like Robin and Batman. The whole family were acrobats. It's not the end of the world. But my point is, you go to those things, you know they're going to, it's a nice family-friendly event. But as far as iconic moments in Buffalo history, 99% of them are sports-related. I mean, unless we have someone in the audience that watched President McKinley get shot. I mean, that was 1901. No one has that memory that's still with us.
Right.
In modern era, all the memorable things, the must-see events live,
well,
all sports.
Outside of sports, you would have to say the Blizzard of 77.
And everyone was there for that.
Yes, we were all there for
that. That's something, though.
But it's what you did. Were you home? Were you stuck at work? That's where those stories.
Don't you think there needs to be a moratorium on Blizzard of 77 stories? Because I've heard so many exaggerations.
I'm sure that people telling tall tales as the years gotten by.
I was snowmobiling. I looked down and I saw a power line. Oh, shut up. You weren't you weren't on a snowmobile.
I touched the top of the WBEN radio tower.
Nick Melinda walked across Deauville. I took my snowmobile across Deauville. I went from the top of the tower to shut up. Everyone's exaggerating. It's so absurd. Do you remember that freak snow blizzard that happened maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah, the one where Sandy and I were both here and
people got stuck.
We're watching it's like, wait a minute, it's getting deeper
and
deeper.
It just happened. It was like you could see the front coming. I have heard people tell stories that they slept in their car for 2 days on the thruway. You did not sleep in your car for 2 days on the thruway.
My little Horizon plowed its way out of here.
But I mean, people will exaggerate. And I think the statute of limitations for exaggeration is probably 5 years. 5 years.
We're going to put a statute of limitations
on it. And then we're like, let's start exaggerating. No one's going to believe this story. Let's exaggerate. That's how it works. You know, there are certain URLs on the internet that you don't want to just take the gamble of assuming in a PG-13 world or Pollyanna that what you hope is on that .com is actually what you're putting into the box. I remember when Dick's Sporting Goods went online and people decided to put in dickssportinggoods.com but left out the sporting goods. They were humbled that they weren't getting their Reeboks.
That's a good way of putting it, by the way.
Yeah, and so Dick's Sporting Goods spent literally six figures to buy that URL that just was dicks.com.
Really?
Yeah. They own that now, but they spent a ton of money to get that from, let's say, not a responsible owner. Now, it's good to know that nuts.com is now selling cashews and macadamias. You never know. But that's now a sponsor to the program, and we're great to have nuts.com. But you would think nuts.com automatically goes to the Rachel Maddow show. It does not. She sold it to people that are actually selling cash.
You got to make money some way.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not getting any advertisers.
Speaking of which, Brian Stelter, you know your buddy. You love Reliable Sources.
Oh, you know how much I...
So Brian Stelter was... So he's down 63% in the 25 to 54 demo. 63% is down in that 25 to 54, which is the most valuable demographic in TV. His show is down 53% in overall viewership. It is the lowest rated show in all of cable news. He had his lowest rating this last Sunday. Only 752,000 people watched his program on Sunday. That is, to not break a million is unbelievable. More people actually visit nuts.com than watch Brian Stelter. That's how bad it's gotten for him. Lou in Amherst, what is on your mind, sir?
Hey, this is Lou from Amherst calling.
Yes, Lou.
And I love the time you referred to me as the Zelig for being at various sports events.
Yes, he's the Zelig of Buffalo sports. In every picture of a Buffalo sporting event, there's Lou in Amherst.
But listen, there was another one. I was at Keith Lincoln. He was right in front of me. I was at the comeback game. But I was at the Schoenfeld hit, taking Cashman into the boards, out into the hallway. 158 penalty minutes in that game. It was so incredibly exciting and to see that happen. But here's the irony of it. The irony of it, we took some business clients to that game. And one of them was like a young girl from California. Maybe she was 30 years old. And she sat there the entire time, no emotion, nonplussed. And I'm saying, how could she not be excited? And of course, she was probably so disturbed by the whole thing. She goes, what the hell have they done to me, bringing me to this fight, you know? And I'll never forget that. That was quite a moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's moments. Someone texted into the program, Lou, that they have met, they're in the 585 area code. They said they met numerous people over the years that have claimed they're at the Kennedy assassination. Have you met anyone that's ever claimed to be at the Kennedy assassination?
No.
I mean, that's, I mean.
I was there. I was on the mound. You'll see me on the mound.
Yeah, you're on the grassy knoll, Lou. I just want to make sure that when I look at video of the Challenger launch, I don't see Lou and Amherst in the stands. But it's one of those things, though, that if it's a moment, if there's a story that people will tell you and they're lying that they were at, when it comes to Buffalo, it's always the comeback game. And Tony was brought up the extra in the natural, which is so true. I've met so many people that have told me that. But if I was going to find the third thing that I think the people exaggerate the most about in Buffalo, Blizzard of 77 certainly up there. Snowvember is up there. And I got to say, the other one would probably be something related to hockey. It would have to either be no goal or the May Day, you know, Brad May scoring a goal. But there are maybe, if you had five stories of where everyone in Buffalo claims to have been live to see a huge event, it's one of those five.
Also, I was not there for the blizzard. I moved out of Buffalo the week before the blizzard, and I'm sitting with my friends in Washington, D.C., watching the national news, and my mouth was wide open. I'm going, I just moved from there. And it was on the national news every night, the blizzard in Buffalo.
And Johnny Carson made that famous. Just ripped. And that's how we got this whole, you know, this chip on our shoulder about our weather was all because of Johnny Carson. Damn him. Hey, Lou and Amber, thank you very much. You know, I've got this guilty pleasure of, I get in these little black holes on the internet, and I'll watch. Recently, I've been on YouTube watching 70s versions of The Tonight Show that happened in, like, late 70s, mid-70s. Mm-hmm. Tony, if you ever have 10 minutes, you know, whatever you're doing, and you just want to escape the world, if you go back and watch the Johnny Carson show from, like, 1976 to 1978.
I did watch it back then.
But I'm saying today, in today's world. It is unbelievable how nothing that they are talking about could ever be aired on television today. The jokes that they're telling, Jonathan Winters talking about, you know, what
they weren't very PC back then.
Everything is politically incorrect.
Right.
It would the entire show would have been canceled. The misogynistic way they talk about their wives.
Well, look
and
at
women
the movies that came out in that era. You had Blazing Saddles.
Oh my
maybe
God.
Maybe the most politically incorrect movie that ever was made.
But it's just that the talk show format has completely changed. It has nothing to do. There's no these were obviously jokes. Don Rickles would not have a career today.
No.
Joan Rivers and Don Rickles would not be able to work in today's world of stand-up comedy, because their whole thing was, you know, attacking you, roasting you, making fun of you. None of it is socially acceptable.
Yeah, he calls you a hockey puck. One of the nicest things that I could say.
It's pretty unbelievable. In the world of political correctness, though, we move to the story that everyone's talking about today. In the NFL, we have our first openly gay player in the National Football League, Carl Nassib, who is the brother of Ryan,
who played
for
Syracuse. Right.
And they're both, brothers. Ryan did not have, coming out of college, I want to say that Ryan's coach was our old head coach, right? That's where Ryan.
Yes. So Doug Marrone coached him at Syracuse.
And he had that off.
And remember when he's came out, we were all saying, well, why isn't Doug Marrone going to draft him?
And right, yeah. So, and the other one was the offensive coordinator that Doug Marrone takes to every town, every job he has.
Yeah.
Nathan. What was his name?
Peterman?
Peterman's the quarterback. The offensive coordinator, Hackett.
Hackett. Yes.
So Hackett was the offensive coordinator at Syracuse. Ryan Nassib was the quarterback.
Right.
Went to the Giants. Didn't really have a good career at all.
No.
Maybe, I think he lasted 2 years. But Carl, definitely the talent of the family. And he's
the younger brother.
He's the younger brother. He's a defensive lineman. And had a really good beginning of his career with Cleveland. And then I think he went to Tampa Bay. And now as a free agent, signed with the Raiders. He comes out on Instagram. And really, of all the things I was expecting in that Instagram video, obviously everyone was saying that he's coming out as gay. But the way he did it was like, hey, just want to take a quick moment out there, say I'm gay. I'm like, all right. You know, threw it out there. He's gay. The response has been what I consider to be the most patronizing of all responses, right? Again, one of the things that makes people that are political and the political correct class in America today, very uncomfortable, is when you equate, you know, homosexuals with civil rights. And, you know, the Democratic Party has made a bedrock of trying to bring all these different tribal groups together to say, look, we're one unified left in America. But you want to irritate a minister? Go to a black church and talk about homosexuality as being a civil right. Get, you know, black, the definition of what a civil right used to be is that, you know, at default, you're born this way, and there's nothing you can do to avoid how people that are stunted and people that have hate in their heart are going to look at you because, you know, you're born with a skin color that some people find repugnant. Some people don't think you're as intelligent. You can function in society. That's racism. That's connected to who you are as a person that you can't avoid. Homosexuality, and again, born that way, this is, you know, whatever you want to make the argument, I can't look at you and automatically assume, you know, you're gay, you're straight, you're in between. Even Freddie Mercury at his height, you know, what are you going to say? Well, I'm wearing certain clothes and therefore I'm gay. No, people could wear different clothes. It doesn't mean one thing or the other. It's very difficult to tell black people that came through the civil rights era when gay pride came in and said, hey, we're a part of this float. We want to be in this parade. We're a civil right too. It really offends and upsets a lot of minorities who are saying, wait a second, you know, German shepherds were unleashed on us when we tried to get a cup of coffee. You know, what about you and the way you live your life and how you identify is something that someone can just automatically point out and say, this is who you are, and this is why I don't like you, and this is why you have to be treated differently. Ryan Nassib is a guy who showed incredible courage as an active football player to come out and announce that he's gay. Why he did this? Did he feel pressure to do it? It really is not the story. The story is that an active member of the NFL is gay, and, you know, it's not easy to come out as a gay person, but this is not a sign of evolution. Because all of these politically correct people are coming out and saying, I'm proud of you. What are you proud of? You're proud that Carl Nassib is a good man and a good role model? You could be proud of that. I can't be proud that you're gay. I don't show pride in the fact that you are attracted to whatever you're attracted. I'm not proud of you because you're homosexual. I'm not proud of you if you're gay. I'm not proud that you like large women. I'm not proud of you that you like small women.
No, it's your choice. It's your thing.
It's who you are. So go. If what you're saying is true, and that this is not, you know, this is a normal thing, and we should all live together in peace and harmony, then we should not be artificially, patronizingly genuflecting because someone comes out and says, "This is what attracts me. This is what I'm into." You like redheads. Like, I'm proud that you're into redheads? Does that make any sense?
Hey, no.
If your son came up to you and said, Dad, I'm attracted to women, would you say, I'm proud of you, son?
No. You just, okay, that's your thing.
That's great. So the pride that we're showing in Carl Nassib is that he has the courage to come out and say something that traditionally no one else has said as a current member in the NFL. That
right.
He takes pride.
And it's maybe the first one to come out in public, but I think players have known teammates that have been gay in the past. You know, we've had former players come out and say, oh, yeah, you know, after their playing days, admit that they were gay. But I wouldn't be surprised if there are players that knew so-and-so was gay. They just didn't make a big deal about it. Like, who cares? That's your thing? Fine. God bless you.
Who's shown more courage in the last week? Cole Beasley or Carl Nassib?
I mean, probably Cole Beasley.
I would say because it's so absolutely absurd. You're going against everything the government's saying, everything the popular culture is saying.
And it's a hot topic.
It's a very hot topic. It's a very controversial thing to say.
Right.
That takes a lot of courage for someone to do that. In today's world, now, if Carl Nassib came out as, if Ed Too Tall Jones came out as gay, that is the bravest man in America.
From back in his day,
1977,
sure. Right.
A black football player
right.
Says he's a homosexual.
That would be huge.
Build him a statue. That's the bravest man in America.
Right.
today, Carl Nassib saying he's gay. I mean, who, you know, what the guy that would be the bravest guy is the guy that comes out and says, I don't want him on my team. That's a brave guy. You know, cause,
and a former player.
And a former player. Yes. That knows. But my point is that courage is the ability to stand up against the mainstream.
Right.
It's not, you're not showing courage to do whatever. Right now, your Apple phone is updating all your apps. Right as we speak, Apple and Android will update every one of your apps. And you know what's going to happen? Nothing on that app is going to change. Nothing is new about that app except for one thing. Your app will update and it will have a rainbow logo on it. This month, all apps in both stores, Google Play and the iPhone store, are going to update your app to show a rainbow logo on whatever you're using.
I noticed that on the game my daughter was playing.
Everyone is. Now, that's the update. So you're not showing courage because the entire population and culture is telling you this is acceptable, this is normal, this is cool. You could have a problem with it. You could support it. But my point is, that's not courage. Courage is being a Christian in Iran. Courage is being a freedom fighter in Taiwan. Courage is being Cole Beasley saying, I'm not getting your damn vaccination and I don't care, when everyone is telling you it's safe, it's effective, and you need to do it. That's courage. Ryan Nassib is not showing courage when everyone, you would be an apostate, fired from your job if you stood up and said, I was raised to believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Like, what? I don't want Carl Nassib on my team because I don't want to be naked in front of someone who's attracted to men. Whoa, what is this? Governor Wallace, David Duke, get the hell off my team. You're done. You're canceled. You're fired. You're done. That's never going to happen. Everyone is going to come out and say Carl Nassib is the player of the year. I'm going to predict this right now. Time Life, NFL, ESPY Awards, you name it. Carl Nassib is going to get an award for going on Instagram and saying...
Well, ESPN will give him the award.
Someone is going to give him an award, and Carl Nassib is going to get an award for basically saying, I really enjoy spending my weekends in the arms of a man. That is the definition of courage in America today. You are attracted. You are... This is your lifestyle. This is who you are. Coming out and saying who you are... If we're all going to evolve to the point where being gay is normal and it's okay, then this is not a big story. This shouldn't be a big story. It should be another gay person is gay. What's the difference between that? What did transgender people do in 1870? They put a mop in their head. They wore their wife's corset. What did they do? Could they identify as women in 1870? So outside of a surgery that makes you officially in this world a woman, what could you have done in 1870 to be living your true life as a woman?
Can't.
It didn't exist because the surgery didn't exist. What can a black person do in America to not be black?
Can't.
You can't. You're black. You're born black. This is who you are. Now, if you have a statement to make about a person for the way that they're born and the way that they are, that puts you in a separate category of hate. It puts you in a separate category that society is trying to ostracize. But if you're going to act as if a, you know, gay person, this is the world we live in. We have gay people, we have straight people. It's not a big deal. Then you can't make this story a big deal. CNN and MSNBC and ABC News and ESPN cannot lead with this story if it's not crazy and strange. I don't understand why this is the number one story in America today. He's another gay guy. But we're saying this is brave to do.
Is it big because the perception that football players and football fans are Neanderthals?
Well,
that's the perception.
Of course it is. And that, to me, this is, I find this to be patronizing towards Carl Nassib. And I see this as completely contradictive to the entire gay movement, which is saying, we're just like you, we're normal, this is no big deal. More young people embrace what you are. At any rate, that's my opinion. We'll take your calls at 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBM.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.